KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
And if you're struggling with the results of pollen all over your face and clothes and things, the good news is the forecast still showing a chance for rain tomorrow. I think in the Albuquerque, Santa Fe area, afternoon, evening tomorrow, I think, you know, as high as 70% chance for rain. So pray for rain. I did see on one app that it said even rain chance for Saturday and Sunday, which, you know, essentially would clean out our atmosphere and get us where, you know, we're not dealing with, hopefully that pollen can go right down the Rio Grande and go away. A reminder, we encourage you to go to our website at klyt.fm. If you or your organization or church have an event that's appropriate for the entire community, you just want to invite folks out, make sure to leave the details. There's a form to fill out just on the homepage at klyt.fm. Scroll down. It's further down the page on the homepage where you get to events. So you can go to the events page, but there's a place to click on to leave your event information. You can do that, or just send the who, what, when, where, all of that to studio at klyt.fm. We'll look for your email there as well. One of those events coming up with Johnny and Friends is the Coffee and Care. They meet at the Johnny and Friends office, 7007 Wyoming Boulevard Northeast. And their next meeting will be February 24th at 10 in the morning. They host this ongoing event designed for caregivers and adults with disabilities to connect, support one another. You know, what they do is not always easy. And sometimes you just need the community that you're in to come alongside and encourage you with words or action. They typically have refreshments, snacks, and fellowship. But that is the Johnny and Friends Coffee and Care. Find out more at their website, Johnny and Friends. Johnny is spelled J-O-N-I. Spell out and. JohnnyandFriends.org/new-Mexico. Coffee and Care, and other events that they have going on. Full hour today with the president of Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing, in studio. Paul, thanks for coming in and taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
We have plenty to talk about in the midst of a roundhouse session, some good, some bad. And look, I'm going to throw it to you. Have you been up there, or are you...
I have. Okay. I have been up there multiple times, and we'll not know the outcome in terms of our freedoms until the end of the session.
Yeah.
Probably really after the governor has signed or vetoed all the bills after a few weeks. But we had a big day yesterday in Santa Fe with a few important bills up for discussion in the roundhouse. SB 18, which I have called the worst bill I've seen in 20 years of working at the Rio Grande Foundation. It would have destroyed our economy, quite simply, here in the state of New Mexico, and for no good reason. That bill died on the Senate floor, SB 18 did. What would it have done? Well, it's pretty simple. By 2030, we would have had, as a state, to cut CO2 emissions by 45%. By 2040, 75%. And by 2050, somehow, someway, we would have had to eliminate CO2 emissions entirely in the state of New Mexico. That was seen by, I would say, all in the business community and economic analysts like myself as a dagger pointed at the heart of New Mexico. And
it almost sounds like they're encouraging us all to hold our breath.
Yes, they would. It's crazy. So thankfully that, like I said,
did not pass.
It was defeated on a bipartisan
vote. I saw Nicole Tobiasen doing a dance yesterday on social media. So
yes, I'm not going to discuss certain dances of the legislature, but
she voted the
right way, so we'll let her dance.
Yeah, well, hopefully there's more dancing to be done. Dance like David danced in celebration. Praise the Lord. So SB 18, gone.
Yes.
And any Do you see that in another session rearing its ugly head again?
I don't think it'll come back up in this session. I hope that is right. I think it would just be it would be too short of time to have the legislature work up a bill similar to that, or that's going to do many of those things. I told them when I testified at one point on this particular bill in an early committee, I said, if you want to get serious about addressing CO2 emissions in the state of New Mexico, we need to focus on embracing nuclear energy and move that kind of policy forward. Because simply drawing a line in the sand with today's current politicians for 2040, when most of them will be out of office, if not all of them, and certainly by 2050, virtually all of them will be out of office. I'll be, heading to retirement. These things are easy to virtue signal about.
Yeah.
But to actually do something, and if we switched our grid to nuclear energy or actually re-embraced nuclear power, because we did have energy coming here from Palo Verde in Arizona, a nuclear plant. But this is the way to make at least our electrical grid much more CO2 efficient. And ultimately, I think nuclear is the answer to our electricity generation problems. You're not going to solve all the problems. We have agriculture. We have motor vehicles. We have a lot of different ways in which pollution does happen. But in France, a country that I don't often tout their policy solutions, they're about 70% nuclear. So they don't really have to deal with a lot of these issues from the electrical side of things.
What's most of the pushback when it comes to nuclear power?
The environmentalists, ironically, because I think, I hate, so this is Paul saying something controversial here. I think, unfortunately, a lot of what we see up in Santa Fe and in this country regarding these policies is much more about fear and ignorance than it is about solving problems.
When you said virtue signaling as well, I think some of that comes in, midterms coming up, and it's too bad because it'd be nice if we could just really just work on the issues and make our community a better place to be.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think nuclear is proven to be safe. It's proven to work, and it's proven to be zero emissions. And those are three things that really should be attractive to people. But there's a component of these folks that don't like economic development, don't like Western civilization, don't like human beings thriving on planet Earth. They'd like to see somehow where one-tenth of the human population still exists, and of course they're part of that one-tenth.
I get that. I get at least feeling that is the goal of some. Other legislation, where are we on SB 17?
So that one is probably the worst bill that's still moving through the legislature.
Okay, not on the governor's desk yet.
No, that one will move to also the House Judiciary Committee. So that one's already passed the Senate, and that will it passed another committee in the House yesterday. Judiciary Committee, House floor, and if it passes the House floor and the Senate House Judiciary Committee, it will be on the governor's desk, and I have every expectation she'll sign it. So that one is a big one. And
for those, we've talked about it on the show already, but for those not familiar with SB 17.
Well, let's just, so I know enough to be dangerous when it comes to gun rights and gun issues. I can just say that it is a very aggressive, very anti-gun bill that is also very questionable in terms of its constitutionality. But the idea of going after the gun sellers, the firearm dealers, they would shut them down, perhaps.
And the people that they're saying they want to keep these guns from, they will find a way to get the guns that they're so concerned about. I found it at another site. Let me just read this real quick. It says it would prohibit the sale of the most common weapons that people now own. If passed, this law will outlaw the sale of any semi-automatic weapon that has a detachable magazine and any weapon with a fixed magazine that can hold more than 10 rounds. There's several businesses that's going to impact. And let me see, prohibit the sale of. So if you already have one, it's not going to impact you, but further sales. And these are the handguns that most people are legally buying and being licensed for. So it is something for you to consider and communicate with your representative to let them know where you stand on SB 17.
Exactly.
And I'm going to guess after, if it gets to the point where it's going to head to the governor's desk, communicate with the governor's office and let the governor know. Although, Paul, you mentioned, I think in an earlier broadcast, last month, she is, she's done. She's not able to get reelected. Right. And, actually, I guess with that in mind, you could see things kind of go either way because she's going to do what she wants to do, probably.
I think we have to kill this one in the legislature.
Yeah.
The concern would then be, let's see. So this is a blatantly unconstitutional bill that, while the gun policies might be at play here, the real issue would be the gun dealers and gun stores.
Right.
Business. Would be shut down. Yeah. Now, that would then create a situation where the judge is determining whether you put a stay on or a hold on the legislation and then you hear it, or you let it take effect, all the gun stores go out of business, and then people have to go to Texas, and
yeah.
then it gets thrown out, presumably, at some future date. And so we're game theorying this thing all
yeah,
out
yeah.
a little bit, and I think that's what they're doing, too, because the legislators know. Senator Joe Cervantes, an attorney who heads the Senate Judiciary Committee, stated publicly that it's unconstitutional. So there is understanding here that they are breaking the law by passing this legislation. And we saw that with the 7-day waiting period. They know that one is also illegal.
Yeah, was SB 17 one of the legislators that is trying to pass it said, yeah, we know it's unconstitutional.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want to, challenge it after it gets passed. Fine. At any rate, listen, we're up against a break. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, is with us for the full hour. Paul, I didn't really give you a chance, for those not familiar with the Rio Grande Foundation, to let them know more about what you do, this nonprofit organization, so that they can find out more.
Yeah, RioGrandeFoundation.org, errorsofenchantment.com for the latest and greatest information. Of course, we're also doing our Freedom Index, which you can find at RioGrandeFoundation.org. That is where we track the votes of the legislature as these issues move through. Pluses are for the good bills, and pluses are for the good legislators. Minuses are for those who are not necessarily voting the right way on some of these concepts in Santa Fe.
All right. So again, that's RioGrandeFoundation.org, errorsofenchantment.com, where you'll find all kinds of blog postings from Paul and some others, but mostly Paul's posts there. And Turning Point, NM.
Tipping Point.
Or Tipping Point, NM.
.com.
The podcast, what to look for there? What's been going on? Session stuff?
I had Rebecca Dow, State Rep Dow, on and got her perspective on some of the issues going through right now in Santa Fe. I've also had a recent conversation with Doug Turner, newly declared and made the ballot. The ballot is pretty much secure in terms of who's made it and who hasn't, but he's the latest addition to the Republican primary for governor.
Okay, and my apologies. That's a pretty regular faux pas for me. Tipping Point NM. .com, the podcast. Lots of great information available through the work Paul's doing. Thank you for that, Paul. And thanks for hanging around. We're going to come back and do some more after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us. Full hour today with Paul Gesing. Once a month, we're able to get Paul in studio and walk through relevant issues to you. I mean, protecting liberty here in New Mexico is a big part of what the Rio Grande Foundation does. You can find them at riograndefoundation.org, errorsofenchantment.com, where you'll find the blogs, mostly written by Paul there, covering that a lot of the content you hear that we cover each month. And then tippingpointnm.com, the podcast. Anything coming up here soon on the podcast we should be watching for, Paul?
Yeah, had a recent conversation with State Rep Rebecca Dow about the latest goings-on in Santa Fe, and had a recent conversation with Doug Turner, the latest entrant to the race for governor on the Republican ticket. So, yeah, a lot of great recent conversations about current events, current issues facing New Mexico, and people trying to make things better.
Hey, and actually, when you mentioned the governor's race, made me think of the former Mayor Hall, who's part of that. But over in Rio Rancho, our friends at Calvary Rio Rancho are having a mayoral candidate forum. They're partnering with Better Together New Mexico to host this event. Early voting got underway February 3rd for those listening in Rio Rancho, and election day for the new mayor over there is March 3rd. The purpose of the forum is to provide information to Rio Rancho residents so they are better able to make a well-informed decision for the election. And I think, I want to say they got like four of the six candidates for mayor participating in this. You can attend in person or watch live on the Rio Rancho, Calvary Rio Rancho's YouTube channel, so we know more about that. But that's Sunday, February 22nd, so that would be a week from this Sunday at 4 p.m. at Calvary Rio Rancho. You can reach out to them if you have more questions. Paul, back to the current roundhouse session, which comes to completion when?
It's next Thursday, okay. The 19th of February.
So still plenty of things going on. We wanted to talk a little bit more about HB 99, the medical malpractice bill. What's going on?
Yeah, medical malpractice is one of the very big issues that we are watching and trying to help with the situation in New Mexico so that we can get more doctors here practicing. Many of them, quite frankly, the Legislative Finance Committee did a survey, and the doctors said that 66% of them are considering leaving the state. 80% of those said that the top reason was the medical malpractice issue in the state of New Mexico. Now, HB 99 is the bill. It started its first committee in the House, in the House Health Committee, and it was promptly amended in a way that was negative to our health situation here in New Mexico. Now, this is a bipartisan bill. Christine Chandler, State Rep Chandler out of Los Alamos, a very progressive woman, is the lead sponsor. Gail Armstrong, House Minority Leader, is another sponsor. So this bill, though, was changed in its first committee in a way that basically eliminated all the hospitals that were going to be covered under the cap. So having a medical malpractice cap, but only wound up covering five of them because of this amendment. Now, it went up to the next committee, House Judiciary Committee, and that was amended out, which is a good thing, and it's on to the House floor. Now, what will ultimately happen with this bill is anybody's guess, but I think it is worth dropping a line to your legislators, certainly on the House side, and saying, hey, I urge you to support this bill with all of the hospitals included, not pulling out some of the hospitals in or most of the hospitals as they would have done. It was basically this effort to muddy the water by the trial attorneys using the progressives' anti-corporate views against them or against this bill. You know, New Mexico has government run, like UNM Hospital and others. We have corporate managed and operated hospitals, and we have nonprofit hospitals like Presbyterian. Loveless is a corporate run one. The bill would have excluded both Presbyterian and Loveless from this medical malpractice cap. And the trial attorneys are a very powerful special interest in the state of New Mexico, and they're very smart. But hopefully this bill will make its way through clean and onto the governor's desk. Now, quick aside is I don't think either you or I say many positive things about our governor on this program. I certainly have found myself at odds with her numerous times over the years, but the governor has made a very strong push for medical malpractice reform. She has even said that she's not going to leave office without medical malpractice reform. Now, good luck to her on that. I hope.
Like Trump running again.
Yes. I joked when I saw that if she was Donald Trump, the media would have just said, I'm not leaving office. But
sorry.
She may call a special session or two. Now, we're not at that point yet. This bill is
I love
still
the
live.
Enthusiasm. Don't hear me wrong.
Yeah. I'm glad that she's on the right side on this. If it doesn't pass in a reasonably good format, she will probably call a special session very quickly. But yeah, we're working HB 99. I hope it does get through. The Senate, quite frankly, though, was the body with more concern because Senator Worth, Majority Leader Worth, trial attorney Joe Cervantes, a trial attorney. There's some trial attorneys out there in the Senate that might not go for this. So we'll see how this all pans out, but definitely still viable, still a lot of obstacles for medical malpractice reform.
All right, we got a few more minutes before the break. If we can, let's see if we can get some discussion about HB 9. You know, as I look at this, Paul, it feels to me like, okay, wasn't this kind of already happening, but now it's just being made law?
Well, HB 9, just so we're starting out from the same place, is a prohibition on local governments contracting with the federal government, and specifically ICE, to manage facilities for ICE. You know, most people don't understand often the differences in terms of federal roles and what the states do and local governments, but there's very few federal prisons, and most of those are very high security for folks like the Unabomber and other real nasties out there. Most prisons and jails are run by local governments, and that's where you would find most of the illegal immigrants.
County or state.
There's three counties here in New Mexico, Otero near Chaparral. There's one in McKinley County, and there's one in Torrance County. And these three facilities, they're hundreds of jobs, lots of tax revenues. But the legislature decided to eliminate that.
Okay, they are federal or they're local?
No, those are state that are working with ICE. Those are some of the contracted ICE facilities. So I wasn't surprised by this. This is one you could see coming a mile away because of what's gone on with ICE across the country and the way this has become such a cause celeb for the Democratic Party. It was not a surprise to me that they went and did this. It's been signed by the governor. It's a done deal. But
there's plenty of federal land in New Mexico, right?
We don't even have to get there, though.
Yeah.
If the Trump administration wishes to keep things going with these facilities, all they have to do is sign a new contract before the bill takes effect.
Okay.
And I think that would be July 1st because that's when
I was starting to picture Tom Holman setting up tents in the desert.
No, that doesn't have to happen. So we'll see what ICE and the federal government do next. They certainly have the wiggle room if they want to keep things going in New Mexico to do what needs to be done, or they may decide that they're changing their approach entirely and they don't want to deal with contracting with these three counties in New Mexico. They may want to send people to Texas or to Arizona or other states. So we'll see What goes next with this?
All right, that's HB9. Mm-hmm. And a reminder, the websites you can go to find out more about Paul's organization, we're visiting the full hour with Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation, riograndefoundation.org. Errorsofenchantment.com, where you'll find the blog posts, mostly by Paul, some others from time to time, and Paul share articles from local papers as well from time to time. But tippingpointnm.com is the podcast that Paul puts together with others on all of these relevant issues as well. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. Always glad to have you along with us daily, 1 o'clock on ABQ Connect. We have interview opportunities with authors, local organizations, and church leaders. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate you tuning in and letting us know that you're watching. You can find out more on our website at klyt.fm. You can also find archived programs of this show at abqconnect.online. Hey, our friends over at the Baptist Convention of New Mexico are preparing for a women's leadership training. It's happening Sunday and Monday, February 22nd and 23rd. So that's a week from Monday. A week from Sunday and Monday, excuse me, it's happening at Hoffmantown Church. They'll have leadership development for this ladies, fellowship, lunch and dinner is included in the convention cost. You'll find the details on the Baptist Convention of New Mexico website. And listen, let me make something clear. For a couple of the events coming up with the Baptist Convention, they're doing a lot of great events. Then I think some people hear Baptist and think, well, I'm not a Baptist. No, but if you're a Christian, it may be of interest to you and you are welcome to attend. I know that from talking to BCNM. Their website is bcnm.com. And again, that's Sunday and Monday, February 22nd, 23rd, the Baptist Convention of New Mexico Women's Leadership Training at Hoffmantown Church. Paul Gessing is in studio from the Rio Grande Foundation. We are pressing on, looking at some of the things working their way through our state's legislature in the roundhouse. Next Thursday, session ends, and there's still lots of work to be done and lots of communication, hopefully, between you and your representative. We mentioned already SB 1799, HB 99, and HB 9, and later today, when this is archived, you can go and hear that conversation if you missed it. Let's press on, Paul. SB 2, this one I don't think I'm as familiar with, but a road bill that's been passed and been signed. And from our previous conversations on the state roads, is this good news?
It's a mixed bag. Overall, we did not like SB 2, but let me go through exactly what it is and does. First and foremost, SB 2 has already passed and been signed by the governor. So that's that. But the SB 2 addresses our road issue in New Mexico, which is something that we have been agitating and discussing in recent years. It pulls in about $1.5 billion into road construction. So far, so good. It does so through bonds, which are a form of debt, which we don't think needs to be done because this state is flush with cash and has money stashed all over the place. So that's the first strike against Senate Bill 2. The second is that it raises taxes on two different groups of motorists. One is a weight and distance tax that few states have. We're one of four in the country. It's a tax on commercial trucks and truckers, and of course that's ultimately getting passed along to the customer. That's the only way you can do it, to the tune of 35%, so a pretty big increase there. And then when you go register your car next, that will increase by 25%. So those are some of the problems with this bill. More on the plus side is the fact that it does charge a fee for the first time ever on EVs, and those who use roads without paying gas tax at all, which EVs do not pay gas tax. So in 2027, the fee will rise to or go to $70, and by 2029, it'll be $90 annually on the EVs.
All right, and so. Bicycle riders, you're next.
No, bicycle riders, even though they get a lot of infrastructure built for them, those are pretty much built just out of the taxpayer, kind of pool of money. So with regard to the SB2, though, it's really unfortunate that a state that continues to have so much money to spend on so many things that are not core government, concepts, core government issues, things like free child care and film subsidies and other, the Rail Runner, which has it increases CO2 emissions, and we're supposed to be doing something about the environment. Those things don't get addressed.
I see you saw the Time magazine cover.
Yes, which is ludicrous as well.
Let's talk about shouldn't we say "quote unquote" free child care? Is that more accurate?
What is that, free child care?
Well, is it?
Well, it's theoretically free to the end user, although that's another question that needs to be addressed: is what this ultimately looks like, and we don't know. The simple answer is that there is a big legislative push around child care, and the governor wants it to be free. The legislature's a little more reticent about that, and so they are looking at co-pays for those of higher income levels. But this is something that will be kind of discussed in the last week or so of the session.
Maybe I'm late to the show for this on the free child care. Mm-hmm. Have thoughts on it, but it seems like the those that fall under the progressive movement are seeing it's happening right before them, that to import your voter base, if that's what's been happening, which is suspect, that if that's not going to work, well, maybe we can raise up our new voter base in a generation. And if everyone's dropping off their kids at state-run childcare facilities, I don't know that even I've seen conversation about, it's not just babysitting. Every one of those places I've ever been aware of, they have some kind of even if it's not a formal curriculum, they have an ideology that they share while the kids are in the child care. And you just kind of, liberty and that, is a concern. Where the money is being raised up to pay for this, but also Christian community, just to be aware of, having our ear to the ground and knowing what's happening and being responsible for our kids in whole.
No, I agree completely. The mindset, well, this governor has clarified publicly she wants a government that takes care of you from your cradle to your career. And that's been her language. And, the left doesn't have kids as a general rule. Statistically speaking, they have kids at a far lower rate. Well, how do they get their talons into the next generation? Well, they already own the K-12 school system, not to mention higher education. But people are breaking free of those, increasingly homeschooling, Christian schooling, et cetera.
Which, by the way, on our homepage at klyt.fm in the featured space, every month you'll find a featured school that may be right for your family. Interrupted you, Paul, but I wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, but they want to provide pre-K. They want to provide free childcare. It's all about the government being the mommy or daddy, not the actual mommy or daddy, and that's how they keep people beholden to government. Now, you would think, right, if we're paying all this money for all these programs that are targeted at children and their families, that New Mexico would be really moving in a fast-growing direction here with regard to families. The answer is no. These are not particularly popular programs when judged based on other options at the state level. States that have lower taxes, that have more educational choice, that have more freedom in terms of regulations, those are the states where you're seeing people move. I don't even know if I put this into the show notes, but the Census Bureau recently came out with data from last year showing that New Mexico was one of five states to lose overall population in that year. We're right there with other good old blue states, California, Hawaii, Vermont, and one other state that escapes me right now. But these are, West Virginia is one of them. These are states that have gone down the path of bigger governments. Now, West Virginia is unique. It's a state that recently embraced free markets and limited government, but it's also a state based on the coal industry, which is not nearly as successful these days as oil and gas. So New Mexico is failing because of its public policies. And even though we've had some successes this session, we've stopped a lot of bad ideas. There's even a few good things that are making their way through the legislature this time around. We can talk about those in a second. But by and large, we need to elect legislators and a governor that are going to move New Mexico in a way that's more freedom-oriented, not such a huge overweening government. And that's the way to make New Mexico successful.
Yeah, a micro testimonial, I guess I'd say. I have a 30-something year old child and spouse who recently left New Mexico. They were involved in ministry here. They were working in local, business. When I mentioned it to friends and family, did their job move them? Did they? And, here's the answer is no. They just left New Mexico. Mm-hmm. for Arkansas, by the way, I'll tell you. It's happening, and if you think about it, there's probably someone close to you in your sphere of influence you can think of that packed there. Maybe someone in the medical field, right? A doctor or what have you. That they're gone, without changing how things are happening here, people are going to continue to leave, and it won't necessarily get better. So. Paul Gessing is our guest, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, for the full hour. We've got one more segment to get through, and we'll bring you some more information, look at some of the stuff working its way through the roundhouse during the current session. It's right after this on ABQ Connect. All right, our final segment of ABQ Connect, some apologetics training. We had guests in here earlier this week from the Great Commission Alliance with Impact UNM talking about action going on with an apologetics training coming up Saturday, February 21st. It is free to attend. Renowned apologist Dr. Douglas Grutice is a best-selling author, Christian philosopher, apologist, and professor at Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids, Michigan. His book, Christian Apologetics, A Comprehensive Case for Biblical Faith, is a classic book that's used in apologetics courses all over the place. You can find out more about this training coming up. It's here in Albuquerque at the Training Center for Great Commission Alliance. They are just south of Indian School on Girard, but go to greatcommissionalliance.org. They're asking that you RSVP, register for the training. Again, it's at no cost, but They're providing lunch and what have you. It's a full day, at least a few hours event on Saturday, February 21st. Details again at greatcommissionalliance.org. And I believe we have it on our events page at klyt.fm. Some training might be of interest to you. Wrapping up again this final segment, we've got about 5 minutes with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, riograndefoundation.org. The other websites are errorsofenchantment.com and tippingpointnm.com. That may be of interest to you. Paul, we covered a lot, and I would encourage our listeners that didn't hear the first part of the show to go to abqconnect.online after this is archived to catch up with what's going on in the Roundhouse. What else is in the works up there before the end of session next Thursday?
Well, there is another bill that is of interest, which is SB 151. It is known as the tax bill. I have an extensive article about it, including all of its components that I'm not going to get into completely here, but it's entitled A Tax Bill Emerges in Santa Fe. A mixed bag, but ultimately a tax increase. Now, most sessions, the legislature will consider some efforts to increase or decrease state revenues. Of course, we've been in a big surplus situation thanks to the oil and gas industry for a long time. Rio Grande Foundation has advocated reducing and eliminating taxes. Long story short, there are 7 or 8 provisions in this bill. What they do is they hear a bunch of tax bills during the session in the tax committees. They just table them immediately, and then they come back with a week or so left in the session, and they put together a omnibus tax bill with some of these components. The big one that I want to make sure that people are aware of is that we could be dealing with a tax increase in this bill because our legislators just can't help themselves. So
They have the same, you know, when Rockefeller was asked, how much money is enough?
Exactly.
His answer was right. It was just a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Our government's taking on the same mantra.
Right. So SB 151 is the bill. The specific component is, and stay with me here, I know this is a little complicated, but the Big Beautiful Bill passed in Washington contains some tax reductions on corporate income tax. This is the most economically harmful tax. It's one of the things that prevents New Mexico from diversifying. So there were tax provisions in the federal bill related to state tax policy, and states can either choose to go along with or not go along with the changed federal policy. These Big Beautiful Bill provisions were tax reductions on the corporate tax. New Mexico, in this bill, SB 151, is contemplating not going along with those federal provisions and essentially raising its corporate tax relative to other states, making ourselves less competitive overall as a state. There's no reason to do this. This is purely about spite and not liking Donald Trump and not liking his policies. This is good policy for New Mexico. It would help us diversify our state. Instead, we're looking at potentially raising taxes through this tax bill. Again, SB 151, it's headed to the Senate Finance Committee. Because this bill gets such a late start, it tends to start, you know, in some of these committees and then pick up steam if it is something that the legislature wants. I don't know whether they're going to really want this or not. There's provisions in there that the governor certainly wants. There's others. We'll just have to see. But it is worth weighing in if you're concerned about raising taxes in New
Mexico. That's SB 151.
Correct.
Okay. Any others?
That's the primary thing. Okay. Those are the primary things right now. Of course, free child care still out there. That is one to definitely keep an eye on as the last week of the session moves along.
Paul, we got about a minute, and I want to throw it back to you for Rio Grande Foundation. I was on the website, and I know there's an events space there, but I didn't see anything necessarily upcoming posted there yet. But I know you look forward to the year, and there's all kinds of things that you typically you bring in some great speakers and luncheons and what have you. Anything in the works?
So we tend to not do events during the legislative session, right, if at all possible. We've got a few concepts that we're working on. We do, if folks want to sign up for our emails, please do. We do a regular Liberty on the Rocks evening event. The next one of those is scheduled for the 24th of February. It's a no-host get together happy hour that's very fun and exciting, and you know, I'll just present about the legislative session at the next one. Then we'll have some speakers for lunch, and one of those is going to be about America 250
love
years.
Love that. Paul.
We want to make sure that we celebrate this country's anniversary.
The semi-quincentennial.
Exactly.
There we go. Well 250 done. Years. Paul, thanks so much. Look forward to it, and we'll do it again next month.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.